Well, you can see here again once more with what is called the AM worksheet in your bulletin. If you pull that out, you can see that the title for this message is Repentance Unto Life. We're talking about biblical repentance. And the text, there will be various texts that you can just write down the reference and look at later. Some of the ones I'll read out. But those are there for us this morning. And then I want you to notice, by way of introduction, you've got review, link, and overview. Overview of biblical repentance. And then from there, we've got an outline to take a look at. My intention is that we will get through our review, link, and overview, and possibly the first main point here this morning, because there is a lot of preliminary to do. So this is not going to be a message that drags on. This is going to be a message that is the right size for us this morning. And then we'll carry on with the remainder, God willing, in next Sunday's message. So with that being said, we're going to look now at this item in your handout called review, because I want to remind you of where we have been. The last several Sundays, starting with December, we began to look more closely at the doctrine pertaining to our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we were coming into that beautiful holiday season and Christmas time, and we wanted to look at Christ. So we left Exodus and we came to the Lord and the teaching of His incarnation and birth, and we've been there. It's been a great blessing. We noted that He is not merely a man. He is the unique one. In John chapter 1, verse 14 and verse 18, John uses a term, the only begotten of the Father, the monogenes, the one and only. He is unique. Jesus is the Son of God incarnate. He's fully God and He's fully man. He has two perfect and separate natures, one divine and one human, forever joined together without mixture into one glorious person. He is unique. And that is where our focus has been. We looked at the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, John the Baptist. He was prophesied in the Old Testament. He is that Elijah that was to come, and our Lord explicitly states that that was the case, that John the Baptist fulfilled the Old Testament scripture of being the Elijah to come. We also considered in a very broad overview what Christ's humanity meant for us and how we were encouraged by Him identifying with us, and then what His deity meant for us. So we had great comfort in looking at those teachings and encouragement in knowing Him. And really, we've only scratched the surface. I mean, we've only scratched the surface with regard to His humanity and His deity. Paul refers to the incarnation in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. He says, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh," speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ was sent by the Father from heaven. He came to do the Father's will, and that was to redeem the people the Father gave Him, and to save them from their sins. Matthew 1:21, the meaning of His name, Jesus. He shall save His people from their sins. Paul again says in 1 Timothy 1, he says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That was the reason He came from heaven, sent by the Father. So the last two Sundays, we looked at how God saves sinners. How does he do that? And that doctrine is called effectual calling. In other words, being called by God powerfully, that we come away from our sins and we trust in Christ because we are a new creation. We have been born of God. We have been regenerated. And we receive Christ as Lord and Savior. And so the big picture for us as Christians, those who have been born again, is we are saved by God's sovereign mercy and grace. We have been regenerated by the Spirit of God and of God's Word to be made like our Lord Jesus Christ in His humanity, His perfect humanity. We are made for a new kingdom, a kingdom that's already begun, a kingdom that will be fully realized at the end of the ages when Christ returns. So, again, the big picture, we are not of this world, just as Jesus is not of this world. As believers, we long for this better country. We long for this heavenly city that shall come down upon a new earth in a renewed universe when Christ comes a second time from heaven to put down all evil forever and to usher in that eternity of endless peace. That's the big picture. That's what God is doing in His work today. We are not of this world, even though we're in it. We belong to God and to heaven. That's where our citizenship is. When Jesus comes, believers shall be glorified together with Him. They will be perfected in body and soul, and they shall be like Him. We are a new creation in Christ, the Bible says. We are God's workmanship, it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. God's workmanship. So here's the link. What kind of work does God do in us? What kind of work does He do? Part of the new creation that we are as regenerate believers in Christ is having a new mind, having a new heart, having a new spirit, as it speaks of in both the Old and the New Testaments. We read about that in Ezekiel 36 this morning. New in the sense that we think differently, we feel differently, and we act differently, all because of the work that God does within us. For it is God who works in you, Paul said, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. And this new way of willing and new way of doing involves repentance and faith. So repentance unto life is a biblical repentance. It's a repentance that actually leads us to everlasting life in Jesus as we embrace Him. So now let's look at our term here, overview of repentance. That's the section that we're in here in the outline. We want to take a look then at what biblical repentance is. There's three witnesses that I want to give to you out of the Old Testament, but then I really want to focus upon the New Testament emphasis on repentance. So I'd have you turn back to the book of Ezekiel. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 18. And these two verses in this chapter at the end of it speak about repentance, biblical repentance, and God's call for repentance, beginning in verse 30, Ezekiel 18, verse 30. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. This is God's call to His people, those called by His name, to turn from their idolatry to the living God. Let's stay in Ezekiel for one more passage, Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33, and again, the word of the Lord that came to Ezekiel, beginning in verse 10. Therefore you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us and we pine away in them, how can we then live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? So again, you see the emphasis there from God through the prophet Ezekiel. There's that witness. And remember, the Old Testament teaches us, and Christ teaches us, that upon the testimony of two or three witnesses, let every matter be established. So Ezekiel is a witness to us of what God's Word says regarding turning from evil to the living God. That's repentance, biblical repentance. I'd have you turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 35. Let me begin in verse 13. Jeremiah 35, verse 13. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction to obey my words, says the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, which he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed, for to this day they drink none and obey their father's commandment. But although I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, you did not obey me. And verse 15 here, I have also sent to you all my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, turn now everyone from his evil way, amend your doings, and do not go after other gods to serve them. Then you will dwell in the land which I have given you and your fathers. But you have not inclined your ear nor obeyed me. God calls for repentance. God calls his people to turn from useless idols and turn to him so that they might have life. So our natural mindset in our fallenness is to turn from God, to embrace idols, to walk in abominations before God. But repentance is to turn away from those things, to turn to the living God, to trust in Him, and to walk in all of His ways. And in order for us to do that, just as we read in Ezekiel, we need a new mind. We need a new spirit. And only God can give that to us. And so we cry out to Him. One final Old Testament prophet, Zechariah. Turn to Zechariah chapter 1. Zechariah chapter 1. And again, another call to repentance. Beginning in verse 1. In the eighth month of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, The Lord has been very angry with your fathers. Therefore say to them, Thus says the Lord of hosts, Return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets preached, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, Turn now from your evil ways and your evil deeds. But they did not hear, nor heed me, says the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? Yet surely my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not overtake your fathers? God's word stands firm. God's word endured. These ones who refused to repent, they did not. And so God urges men to repent, to turn from their idolatrous ways and to trust in Him and in His word. And so we see things like that all throughout the Old Testament. And then we come to the New Testament and we think, well, okay, is it present there? And obviously, when we read Luke chapter 3 this morning, we saw that it was there. John the Baptist's ministry was a ministry where he's preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. He says in his opening words in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, he says, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then later on in that very same chapter, Matthew chapter 3, verse 8, he says to bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. Bear fruit that shows you are truly repenting of your sins and turning to God. He baptized the people in the Jordan with this baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So certainly, what do we see here from John and John's ministry? We see a command to repent by a man sent from God. John chapter 1, verse 6. John is the one sent from God. We see that repentance that was preached by John was meant to bear fruit in that person's life. This is the kind of repentance that he's talking about. It was to be productive. And its purpose was designed to prepare a penitent people for the one who would come, who would take away their sins, the Lamb of God, and who would give them life, the one who said that he was the way, the truth, and the life. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He was to prepare a people for him. So we see duty in John's ministry where he's preaching this command that's given to him by God. We see duty. We see production, how that repentance brings forth fruit if it's biblical repentance, and that it is focused upon Christ. It's always forward-looking and it looks to Christ. That's what's involved with saving faith and biblical repentance. Now, I want you to consider, before we go into this first point, I just want you to consider the Lord's ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. Verse 17. This is after the temptation in the wilderness. This is at the very start of his ministry there in Galilee. And in verse 17, God's word reads, From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The very first word out of his mouth is repent. Now, this word figured very prominently in his ministry. I'd have you turn to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. We want to see how this continues on in his ministry. It's not just a one and done. It's not where he's going to open his ministry with repentance, and then after that, all it is love. Love, love, love. No, what it is faith, faith, faith. And repentance, repentance, repentance. They're matched together. They're all throughout his ministry. So in Luke chapter 5, right here in this section, when he is confronted by some of these self-righteous Pharisees about his ministry to the lost, he says to them in verse 32, he says, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." He's not calling the self-righteous Pharisees to himself. He's calling those who know they are sinners to come to him for the remedy they need to be freed of their sin debt before God, so that they might experience that lifting of the burden and they might follow after him, taking his yoke upon their shoulder. Remember, he says, "Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light." It's a light yoke. But the Pharisees would load men down with all kinds of commandments that they were unable to fulfill. So he says, "I'm not calling those who think they're righteous. I'm calling those who know they are sinners and need forgiveness." He's calling them to repentance. Well, turn to Luke chapter 10. Here he is preaching to those who hear his words, and he upbraids certain cities for their unrepentant hearts and their lack of faith in him. And he calls out to them in Luke chapter 10 and verse 13, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes." He says the same thing in Luke chapter 11, in verse 32. "They would have repented long ago." In Luke chapter 13, "One day there were some who were with him who insinuated that the deaths of certain men were the result of them being worse than all other sinners. That's the reason why they died." And in Luke chapter 13, in verse 3, he tells them plainly, "Unless you repent, you all will likewise perish. You all will likewise perish, all of you, if you do not repent." He says it again in verse 5. In Luke chapter 15, as we continue on through his ministry, notice the beautiful thing that he says here in Luke chapter 15, in verse 10. Verse 10 of Luke 15, "There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." That's a glorious thing, to know that there's joy there in heaven because of one person turning away from their life of sin and trusting in Jesus for forgiveness and for life. That's real blessing and joy. We cause the angels to sing when we turn from our sins and trust in Him. He goes on in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verse 3, "Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent. You shall forgive him. Forgiving that penitent sinner is like our Savior who forgives the humble and penitent in heart. We are to be like Jesus. After his resurrection, he spoke with his disciples and he opened their understanding in order to comprehend the scriptures, especially all of the Old Testament scriptures that referred to the Messiah. And he said in Luke 24:47 that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Repentance preached. And of course, that's exactly what the apostles did. Before the crucifixion, they were sent out. It says in Mark 6, verse 12, they went everywhere preaching that people should repent. And then after the resurrection and the ascension, beginning with Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2, we see where Peter is asked the question, when men are pricked in their hearts about their sins, what shall we do? And he says, repent. Believe the good news. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. So it is an emphasis of the Lord's ministry. It is an emphasis of the apostles' ministry. It wasn't something that just started at the beginning of Christ's ministry. It's all throughout it. And it's all throughout the New Testament in the apostolic teaching that we have that's been preserved in the Scriptures. That we are the ones that preach repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And so that is to be the primary and the fundamental emphasis of the preaching ministry today in the church. Men and women, here's the verse, Acts 26:20. Write this down, Acts 26:20. Here's the verse. Men and women should repent. Should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. Why is that word should there? Because we have an obligation to God. We have a creaturely obligation to our Creator to turn from death to life, to turn from Satan to God. And it's only when we begin to realize how impotent we are in our own strength and power, we hit rock bottom, so to speak, that we begin to look up at the only light that can shine on us and bring us out of that darkness and into the light. And that is Jesus Christ. That's the one who spoke in the beginning, and light came into being. And he does that very same thing in our soul. Well, let me look at this key with you, and then we'll close this morning, and we'll look at the remainder of this outline, 1A through 3A, next Sunday. Look at the key here. The kind of repentance that is a saving grace is the kind that comes from God as a gift. It changes everything in a person's life, and it involves action. That is a movement away from a life that's characterized by sin and a movement toward a life that is characterized by godliness as exhibited to us in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our model, and we are to follow in His footsteps by faith. It is a repentance that leads to salvation, not to be regretted, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. It produces fruit, and it distinguishes regenerate believers from the wicked who refuse to repent of their murders, of their sorceries, of their sexual immorality, or their thefts, as it says in Revelation 9, verse 21. It's called a repentance unto life there in the King James in Acts 11, verse 18, because it actually leads to eternal life in Christ Jesus. He is the Savior not only for the remission of our sins, He is the one who saves us from our sins. He's taking away that life of sin from us and giving us a new life in Him. And that is what we are to embrace. And we do that by bearing forth those fruits worthy of repentance, which means that we keep His commands by His power and strength, by His Word in our life. We need the Spirit of God within us. So to close, let me turn you back to Ezekiel 36. And we'll close here this morning. Ezekiel 36, what we read this morning. Ezekiel 36, and let me read from 23. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. What is he saying? He's saying, here you were. You lived a life that everyone looked at and said, the child of God, what a mess. That person is not living for God, they're living for themselves. They bring shame upon the name of the Lord. And so they need to live for me. They need to hallow my name. And I'm going to do such a change in them that everyone's going to see it. Everyone's going to see the difference between their life before and their life after. When they finally gave themselves to me wholeheartedly. And he says, this is the way I'm going to do it. Verse 24, I will take you out from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, bring you into your own land, and then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. He's the one that does it. He sprinkles the blood of Jesus Christ upon us so that we might be forgiven of our sins and our filthy garments washed as white as snow, just as we sing in our hymns. We come to that fount of every blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So He cleanses us. He goes on, I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. Verse 26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Your stony heart, your hard heart against me, I'm taking it away from you, and I'm giving you a heart that will respond to me. Everything will be new. And more than that, look, verse 27, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Not only are we made new, but God promises to give His Spirit to dwell within us. So that together as a new creature we might walk hand in hand with the Spirit and live that life that is so different from what we lived before. That reputation where people looked and said, they claim to be a Christian. I mean, they go out there, they're doing all of the things that I do. They're just religious. But when you are really transformed and people see that you love Jesus, you love your neighbor, and you want to do what the Lord says, even in the face of all kinds of opposition, they'll go, wow, he's a different person. He's a changed man. And it's all because of what God has done in them. It's God's work. It leads to eternal life. That life in Jesus who saves us from our sins. Well, let's close there here this morning. And then next Sunday, we'll pick up the outline and we'll look at these 3 points. Repentance unto life is a gift. It's a gift of God. It changes everything. And then it includes real action. We'll take a look at those things next Sunday. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we bow in your presence and we thank you for your precious word to us. If we did not hear that word or read that word or even have access to that word, we would stumble along ignorantly in our blindness, in our deadness, not knowing that we should repent because you command us to do so, and not knowing that we are impotent in ourselves to generate the kind of repentance that you accept. That we need you, and we need to be humbled and brokenhearted before you and cry out to you, God, change me. Change me, Lord. Give me light. Give me the desires and give me that kind of action that leads to life. And so, Lord, we pray that today you would encourage those of us whom you have already regenerated to give us encouragement to carry on and to be forward-looking unto Jesus and to walk in light of your word. And I pray still for those who are lost. Oh, Lord, let them turn to you and live. As the Old Testament prophets preached, as John the Baptist preached, as Jesus, our Lord and Savior, preached. Oh Lord, cause them to turn away from their idolatry and abominations and to be cleansed and given a new mind and a new heart and a new spirit, and that your spirit would be with them to help them each day as they walk in your word. Oh God, bless us here in this assembly and give us life and forgiveness in Jesus. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.